Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Jonathan Valentino was just a regular kid from St. Louis who happened to be a good singer. Then his mom uploaded a couple of videos to YouTube, and Johnny Valentine, boy pop star, was born. This might sound like a familiar tale, but it's what happens afterward that makes up the bulk of author Teddy Wayne's new novel, The Love Song of Johnny Valentine. Teddy, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me. I'm going to try not to call you Johnny during this.
Please. Yeah. Now, Johnny Valentine will inevitably draw comparisons to the real-life Justin Bieber, although he's much younger. He's 11, about to turn 12.
Right. Bieber, I think, broke out when he's about 14. He may have been discovered before that, but he didn't get big till he was 14 or 15. Simon & Schuster's legal team has reminded me to say that any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
Purely coincidental.
Inspired by the general phenomenon of pop stardom, not a specific person, per
right.
se.
Right. And by making him an 11-year-old, first of all, from page one, you set up this kind of weird dichotomy in the reader's mind. It's like, wait a minute, this kid's 11, but he's talking about market penetration, and you know, his use of lingo is completely fluent.
So there's this collision of voices. He's part marketing savvy ad exec almost. He's been in the industry for 2 years. He's internalized the language of the marketing people around him, of his label. His mother's his manager, so he's gotten that as well. Combined with this preteen grammar that's more innocent and, to me, the opposite of an innocent child who wants nothing from you but love is a predatory marketer who wants to sell you something you don't really need.
Mm-hmm. So in this book, in the world of Johnny Valentine, he's a huge pop star, but there's an even bigger, I mean, there's this MJ, who he refers to constantly,
yes.
who, of course, is Michael Jackson, but there's the fictional Tyler Beats, who seems like he might be closer to Justin Bieber than our protagonist. He's made it. He's older. He's broadened his...
He's broadened his base. Tyler Beats is 17. Similar, but also not inspired by another certain former teen singer who's now made it bigger and is older.
He is not Justin Timberlake.
He's not Justin Timberlake. Tyler is this model to emulate. He's gone through the system. He's emerged... But he's actually embittered by it, too. He's a little bit resentful, but he's turned into a somewhat callous businessman at 17. Already, he already knows that, as he says, the talent gets used and chewed up.
Right.
The producers are the one who make the money and get out unscathed.
It's a kind of a dark novel in many ways, bleakly funny in many parts, and laugh-out-loud funny in one part, which is Johnny Valentine... finds an edition of The New Yorker, and it's a takeoff on the Shouts and Murmurs, the comic column there in The New Yorker. And I read somewhere that really was sort of, for you, the genesis of the book.
In October 2010, I'd been working on another book for about a year that was going nowhere, a real slog. I'd been tutoring after school kids in this program in Brooklyn, had seen one of the girls reading Miley Cyrus's Miles to Go, which is mostly pictures, like a sentence or two per page. I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the must have lodged in my subconsciousness, because a week later, a friend whom I often collaborate with emailed me asking, do you have any ideas for a humor book we could work on together? I said, how about we parody these pop star autobiographies? He liked the idea. We got into it. We abandoned it a week later, but an hour after that, I thought, if I treat this seriously, this could make for an actually good novel. So the first thing we wrote for the parody when we were still doing it was sample chapters from the perspective of a Johnny Valentine-like character,
mm-hmm.
that ended up being used, the Shouts and Murmurs column in The New Yorker. There's also various media send-ups throughout there, about a dozen or so
right.
fake media transcripts that are used.
There's a great fake review of one of Johnny Valentine's concerts in the LA Times, which actually, you know, he begins to take to heart and think about a bit. So he's not, despite having spent two of his 11 years within the machinery of the music business, mm-hmm. he's not completely soulless and chewed up and spat out by it.
No, I mean, he's still at that early stage at which a critic's damning review can make you feel very vulnerable, which is, you know, I'm now 33. I was 31 when my first book came out. A bad Amazon review can get you distraught. And that was partially the genesis, too, that if I were, as an adult, still feeling upset over an anonymous customer's review, how does a teenage pop yeah. star handle the massive amount of scrutiny and really nasty, cruel, snarky criticism that's out there for him?
So how much knowledge of the music business, of all of the kind of trappings of celebrity, of tween and teen stardom, were you familiar with when you set out to do this?
As much as anyone who receives this stuff osmotically, you can't really avoid hearing about Bieber or Miley mm-hmm. Cyrus or Britney Spears. I'm an avid music fan, so because of that, I had a little more exposure. But I had to do some research. I had to read Miles to Go. I read Bieber's book, a number of others. I read also some more serious books, including some child star autobiographies and biographies. The most helpful was a critical text called The Cultural Significance of the Child Star, an academic text.
Mm. So what is the cultural distinction of the child star?
There's two interesting points, especially that Jane O'Connor is the woman's name who wrote it, made. It's one, the child star is not really a child nor an adult. They're in this nether region, and they combine both, but they're not really both either.
Mm.
The second one is that we sacralize child performers. We make them into these angels of innocence. Johnny's nickname is the Angel of Pop. And then inevitably they fail us at some point because children can't stay innocent forever. They fall, and we punish them because we're so upset that they defied our expectations. And consequently, most child performers become, you know, rebel against this image they had previously had and hypersexualize themselves
mm.
and flaunt their drug use or whatever kind of anti-authoritarian stance they're using. And so you see this in someone like Britney Spears most definitively, who, while she was often sexualized at the beginning, still had this innocent schoolgirl look and then rebel completely a few years later. Did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Oh baby,
we're speaking with Teddy Wayne. He's the author of the new book, The Love Song of Johnny Valentine, the tale of an 11-year-old pop star, the Angel of Pop, as he is called. And his big hit song is called Guys Versus Girls. And, you know, you give us the lyrics. In fact, you've actually recorded. You're a musician yourself, I guess.
That's a stretch. I'm a mediocre guitarist and a worse singer. But for fun, I recorded my own version at home. I have a really great setup with a $6 microphone
uh-huh.
that I used.
Nice.
So I did record it, but fortunately I also asked Alina Simone, the singer-songwriter and a novelist herself, to record her own version, which is far superior to mine. And is.
So you're saying we should hear Alina's version and not yours?
I would much prefer, you'll lose all your listeners if you play mine.
Alina Simone, the Russian-born but New York-based mm-hmm. singer-songwriter, she's been on Soundcheck in the past, with her version of Teddy Wayne's real song that he wrote for this fictional character, Johnny Valentine.
Girls and guys, burgers and fries, all get ruined with a couple lies. In junior high, we're going at it, boys throwing spitballs, pulling on twirls.
Guys Versus Girls is the big hit song for the 11-year-old pop star Johnny Valentine in Teddy Wayne's new novel, The Love Song of Johnny Valentine. And, you know, the first thing that strikes you when you see the text on the page is just how inane the lyrics are, you know, girls and guys, burgers and fries and stuff. But then, you know, if you listen to Justin Bieber's songs, and especially the acoustic versions where, right. you know, all the production has been stripped away and it's just the song, a lot of his songs are, you know, basically on a par with that, aren't they?
Are you suggesting I'm not the new Cole Porter in my generation? if you look at real pop lyrics, it actually must take a special kind of genius to write them because they are often very simplistic words like or baby, you know, not even word sounds that can be used to great effect. And actually sophisticated, complex lyrics probably work against you
right.
in a lot of pop songs. They always say the hook has to be so simple that everyone can immediately identify it. Maybe the verses can get more difficult and challenging, but choruses are often just a couple of words and sounds.
Mm-hmm. So did you do a lot of listening to Bieber and Timberlake and stuff like that while you were writing this?
I did. I had to explore it more. It's not the kind of music I tend to seek out myself. I'm not in their target demo, as no. Johnny would say. so I was often listening and getting inspiration as far as I could.
Well, Justin Bieber's boyfriend.
His song boyfriend.
Yeah. Listen to, chilling by the fire while we're eating fondue. I mean,
swag, swag, swag on you is the first part of that couplet, too. Which, how would you know to write that, to write swag, swag, swag on you? It's not something that you that's a special kind of genius, again, to do that.
Let's hear it. This is Justin Bieber with the acoustic version of Boyfriend.
If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I could take you places you ain't never been before. Baby, take a chance so you'll never ever know. I got money in my hands that I really like to blow. Yeah, on you. Chilling by the fire while we're eating fondue. I don't know about me, but I know about you. So say hello to falsetto in 3, 2, swear. I'd like to be everything you want. Hey girl, let me talk to you. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I keep you on my arm, girl. You'd never be alone. And I could be a gentleman, anything you want. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go.
Justin Bieber and the acoustic version of his song Boyfriend. We're speaking with Teddy Wayne about his new novel, The Love Song of Johnny Valentine. Johnny Valentine, an 11-year-old sort of Bieberish character. One of the things that you point out, that you make clear throughout the novel is whatever else Johnny is, and Tyler Beats, who's the exemplar that he aspires to, these guys are amazingly talented.
I mean, you just heard it. That he's a pretty good singer, Bieber. I actually prefer that, I think, I like the beat of his original Boyfriend more, but his singing that is pretty superb. He's got a beautiful timbre to his voice. Bieber also plays multiple instruments. He's a real musician. He's not some kid they plucked out to fill in the gap for some new one. He's got ambition and talent, and it's nice to see that in someone who otherwise seems like he might be a brand or a product. He's got genuine artistic impulses.
Mm-hmm. And so does Johnny. By all accounts, he is a great, he has a great instrument. Even the reviewer in the LA Times who reviews his concert says, he could be great.
He could be. He's not only a great singer, but he has real feeling and soul to him. He's 11, though, so he can't explore that yet. He's restricted in so many ways. He lives in this hermetically sealed bubble, among which the restrictions on him is he can't write his own songs yet.
Now, let me ask you about the title, The Love Song of Johnny Valentine. Am I supposed to be thinking of The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, the poem by T.S. Eliot?
It was to get high schoolers who wanted to buy that on Amazon to make a mistake and buy this book instead. No, it's the original title was going to be The Autobiography of Johnny Valentine at first, because at first it was supposed to be his autobiography. I got rid of that framing device. Then it was just Johnny Valentine, and then I was at dinner with a friend. We're discussing the book and its titles, and I came up with it impromptu. It fit. All songs are about love. That's how he's marketed. Valentine, of course, is the holiday of love. So you know, maybe we'll get a few Elliot fans accidentally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it, you know, it's not a bad kind of connotation in a title because, you know, you think of the T.S. Eliot poem and it's all about regret and this kind of world weary and fear. And fear is like a big part of Johnny Valentine's life.
Right.
What is he afraid of?
Johnny's afraid of a number of things. One is the sort of garden variety performance anxiety before shows. He's always worried and concerned something bad will happen. Once he's on stage, though, he enters what he calls the Johnny zone, and he's fine, which is, I think, similar to my limited experience with public performance as a reader. You're always nervous beforehand. Once you get up there, you're usually okay. His second bigger fear might be child predators. It's this running motif throughout the book. He's constantly on the lookout for people who might physically assault or abuse him. What that seems to be a stand-in for is his dim recognition that he's being preyed on by people closer to him mentally and financially. And it all takes the place of this figure of this child predator who's out there, but he's actually getting their predators much closer at hand.
And you get the feeling, although it's never explicitly stated in the book, that this is a fear that has been planted in him to distract him from what you're just saying, from the fact that there's a whole kind of machinery that's been built on his 11-year-old shoulders. As we said before, he kind of aspires to be the next Tyler Beats, the guy who's a few years ahead of him.
Yeah.
But his idol is MJ, Michael Jackson. And there's one passage in the book in particular where he's thinking about Billie Jean, especially about the beginning of Billie Jean.
Billie Jean, yeah. So I actually did a fair amount of research on that song. According to my research, Jackson spent 3 weeks getting the bass lick down for the opening, which shows you how much attention to detail he had. Jackson is the pop genius of our time. He's no longer around, obviously, but the last 40 years, he's the one to have done it. She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one that could dance on the floor and around. She said, I am the one who would dance on the floor and around. He's also the person who was most warped by fame, probably in history, most warped by childhood fame, certainly. And then, of course, became an adult who clung fiercely to this childhood he never had. So Johnny admires him and wants to be the next Michael Jackson without really thinking through this guy didn't have a childhood, and then his adulthood was this perverse version of childhood.
Mm-hmm. So the book is called The Love Song of Johnny Valentine. As you said, Teddy, this is not necessarily the type of music you listen to. We, you know, just reading between the lines, I would guess more indie, going back maybe to The Clash.
The glasses that gave me away? The retro glasses?
It's the way several characters talk about, you know, smaller, less-known bands. The Latchkeys, who are Johnny's opening act,
yes,
who are presented as very kind of cool and... indie.
So, yes, his opening band, the Latchkeys, are a group of 20-something Harvard graduates who are in a band, the kind of guys who read Ulysses but then write catchy, you know, hook-heavy pop songs that are indie rock still. And they expose Johnny to, among other musicians, the Clash. Understandably so, punk rock is everything that's in opposition to top 40 mainstream pop. Mm-hmm. It's against corporate structures. It's angry. It's aggressive. It's raw as opposed to this hyper-polished, refined pop music. And Johnny takes to it without, again, totally understanding why, but he emotionally connects to this sort of music.
And much later in the book, at a time of crisis, says to himself, I need to hear that song again. The song being Complete Control by The Clash.
There are two epigraphs to the book. One is a Justin Bieber quote about lack of control in his life, this personal control. Then there's the Clash quote from Complete Control, which is complete control even over the song.
That's the way the book begins. For the rest of it, well, you'll just have to read it. The Love Song of Johnny Valentine is the latest from Teddy Wayne, who's been with us here in the Soundcheck studio. Teddy, great to see you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
This is Soundcheck. When it comes to the rules of grammar, songwriters sometimes get a pass. Next week on Soundcheck, contributor Faith Saley talks about some of the most egregious examples of bad grammar in music. And we want to hear from you. Tell us about a song whose poor grammar made your inner schoolteacher want to scream. Let us know at soundcheck.org. Our special Valentine's Day edition of Soundcheck continues in just a moment.